last night's Four Corners program unveiled serious allegations against a renowned Melbourne gynaecologist. Former patients of Dr. Simon Gordon have shared their stories of going through multiple surgeries for severe endometriosis, only to discover later that their pathology results showed low or no evidence of disease. One patient, Courtney Payton, had both her ovaries and her uterus removed before the age of 25 and is now medically infertile. The medical regulator APRA is conducting a formal investigation into Dr. Gordon. Endometriosis affects around 1 in 7 girls and women in Australia, and getting a diagnosis can take on average 6 to 8 years. And for many, by that stage, it's already been a long battle just to have their pain believed. Now these allegations against a prominent specialist, allegations Dr. Gordon strongly rejects, have left some patients questioning the system they turn to for help. You're about to hear from one of Dr. Gordon's former patients and from an advocate on what needs to change to restore trust in the health system for people with endometriosis. Helene Hill is one of Dr. Simon Gordon's former patients, and I spoke to her a little while ago and asked her how she was reacting to this report from Four Corners.
Definitely shocking. It was quite shocking to see this all play out and come out. I think it really brings trust into question as well, because you obviously trust your doctor, any doctor, especially if they're doing surgery and whatnot. You do trust them and want to believe what they say. So it is quite surprising, as well as just devastating, especially for the endo community in Australia, because so little research is done about endo. So I do feel like it's sort of brought us back a little bit with all of this coming out as well.
Winding the clock back to the beginning of your journey, how long did it take for you to get a diagnosis?
Yeah, quite a while as well, unfortunately. I did have endometriosis symptoms when I was a teenager, when I first started getting my period, stayed home from school, vomiting, horrendous pelvic pain, and I went on a contraceptive pill just for different reasons, not for treating that. And then it was only once I came off that pill in my early 20s, my periods were getting worse and worse and worse, and I had a cyst rupture that wasn't taken seriously. I went to multiple doctors. I went to my GP. I said, hey, I think I have endo, after I'd researched it myself and realized, you know, all the symptoms fit. And she told me to my face that it was impossible. It was so rare and just impossible for me to have endo. And later that day, I actually got diagnosed at emergency. So it took quite a few years for me to get diagnosed and quite a few doctors to even take it seriously to investigate.
And so then you have it and you've had to have surgeries over the course of your life. Can you talk me through what you've had to have?
Yeah. So when I was diagnosed in emergency in 2018, a gynecologist on call came and saw me the next morning and had scheduled surgery for me in 2 weeks' time. And that was my first endometriosis surgery in 2018. At the time, I didn't know, you know, what ablation was, what excision was. I sort of had no idea. And it was only after that first surgery, I sort of, you know, kept researching, looking into it and realized that I wanted and needed an excision surgery, as I was worried that there was the disease left behind, it was growing back, it had recurrence. And so I ended up I saw Simon in 2020 and I had a surgery with him in 2020, another in 2021, and another in 2022. And it was my surgery in 2022 that I had my left ovary and both fallopian tubes removed. I've also frozen my eggs. I did 2 rounds of egg freezing, and I've had other complications that I've needed a bowel resection and other surgeries for after all of that as well. So I've had about 8 abdominal surgeries total, with 4 of them being directly for endo.
That is massive. And it sounds like throughout that process, you really had to advocate for yourself.
Oh, absolutely. It was and still is a struggle for doctors to take your pain seriously, take your symptoms seriously, not tell you it's all in your head. I've heard that before. Like it is a real struggle. And I have not learned, but sort of know now that I need to get second opinions, third opinions, really need to research myself so that I'm confident in my decision, confident in who I'm choosing to see. It's Yeah, advocacy is something that is super important to me because it's so hard knowing what to do. And if you trust a doctor and they're wrong, it has massive consequences.
Part of your journey has led you to become quite strong in the advocacy space. As you say, you're connected with a lot of people in that community. How are people reacting to this investigation that's underway?
Yeah, I think honestly everyone with endo in Australia is sort of watching and waiting to see what's going to happen. A concern that people have is as well, people that maybe that aren't diagnosed yet or, you know, are looking to have their surgery, they might think that having surgery is a negative thing, whereas it is still considered the gold standard, having excision surgery. So it is a concern that this, you know, impacts everyone, not just Simon Gordon's patients.
If you could change one thing about how endo is treated in Australia, what would it be?
One thing I definitely think needs to be taken seriously is that it's not just a gynecological disease. It is a whole body disease. And it's not just a gynecologist you need for surgery. It's really important to have a team, have a pain specialist, have a really good GP, maybe even a pelvic physio, and have specialists that work together, decide things together, and ones that you trust. But I do think it is really important as well to emphasize it's not just period pain, it's so much more than that. And I think some people, unfortunately, still think it is just period pain, which it is absolutely not.
So that's Helene Hill, who lives with endometriosis, sharing her reaction to the investigation into Melbourne-based gynecologist Dr. Simon Gordon. In a statement provided to Four Corners regarding the allegations raised in its investigation, Dr. Gordon said, "Across my entire career, I never performed surgery to treat endometriosis or any other condition unless I was absolutely convinced it was in the patient's best interests and to improve their overall quality of life. While the vast majority of surgeries were successful in relieving or eliminating patients' pain, no surgeon can ever guarantee that every surgery performed will be totally successful or that there's not a genuine risk of recurrence." And further reporting from the ABC this morning states that the medical regulator, APRA, dismissed multiple women's complaints regarding Dr. Gordon. However, following the Four Corners investigation, it's received a flood of new complaints that are under review. So we'll include Dr. Gordon's full statement to Four Corners and a link to its reporting on the Life Matters website. You can go and read up on all that after the program. But with me right now is Jessica Taylor, who's CEO of Endometriosis Support Network, Quendo. Jess, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks for having me.
Listening to Helene's story before, and the people who you're advocating for in your work, what kind of messages are you seeing coming through?
So we're seeing lots of emotion, understandably. This is a really distressing topic and just want to acknowledge that. And at any stage, I'd encourage the community to take a break and go offline if you need to. We're seeing anxiety, frustration, anger from not only the patients and their families, but also the wider health professionals who we work with, because this is just absolutely horrifying what we're hearing. And watching the Four Corners episode last night, goosebumps were just all over my body, and just listening to that story again. It's not an uncommon story, which is just where we need to see change. There is also courage from this community, because this is a really hard topic to talk about, to go and speak against the medical profession, but women and people affected, they're coming with their truth because that is what they experienced, and we need to get behind that.
The topic of trust has come up a couple of times. Why is it so fragile when we're talking about endometriosis?
For decades, so Quendo has been around since 1988, and since before then, people weren't believed about their symptoms. They were told, as we heard, that it's all in your head, or you couldn't possibly have endometriosis, or we can't see it on a scan. And that over years has left people isolated, living with these symptoms and genuinely thinking, is there something wrong with me? I'm a patient myself of in Brisbane here, and I've also lived through those experiences. And so when you hear that again and again for up to 10 years, some even up to 20, you start to question yourself, and your confidence and your self-agency completely gets thrown in the bin. So when you are then asking to trust the medical profession, asking to trust health professionals, when that trust and that lack of knowledge yourself is already low. Well, yeah, if you are going to see someone who is considered to be really well known and trusted in the community, of course you're going to listen to them.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking to Jess Taylor, who's the CEO of Endometriosis Support Network Quendo, in the wake of Four Corners' investigation into a prominent Melbourne gynecologist who has serious allegations coming against him. And just the destabilizing effect that allegations like that have on the trust in a system for people with a disease that has been underdiagnosed over the years, and that people have felt like they've got to advocate for themselves a lot. I'm asking you, if you live with endometriosis, how this has landed for you, how you're feeling about it. Lots of texts coming through. One says, I finally got diagnosed last year at 40 after having severe symptoms from 12 years old. I got dismissed over and over and completely lost faith in the system. I was so gaslit, I didn't believe myself. I grew up in a financially challenged environment, and it was all just too expensive and overwhelming finding a doctor who would diagnose. There weren't specialists back then, and we didn't have easy access to information. I've seen the doctor in question, and I almost went ahead with surgery but decided against it. Jess, the idea of having surgery is a really big one regardless. How do you make a decision like that?
So for a really long time, what we knew was that surgery was the option that was suggested. And since that time, in recent years, we've actually been able to find some data that only less than 40% of patients that have surgery do have some sort of symptomatic relief. Now, when we talk about endometriosis, we need to separate out the lesions of endometriosis and also the symptoms. So someone that may have a small amount of disease may actually be in enormous amounts of pain, versus someone who might have disease all throughout their pelvic cavity or in other parts of their body may have no symptoms at all. So the disease does not correlate to the amount of symptoms someone's living with. And this is why it's complex. So when someone's going for surgery, we ask them to think, okay, well, what are the symptoms that I'm living with? And what is really stopping me from getting to go to work, go to school and live my life? When we are also looking at surgery, we want to understand what other organs are impacted. So in most recent years, we actually have new technology that can pick up endometriosis when it is performed by a well-trained sonographer and a radiologist reporting on that scan, and they have the new technology. This is different. So years ago, we couldn't do that. So this is changing because of the research going into this space. So when we are going for an endometriosis and pelvic pain scan or pelvic scan, we're looking at what other organs are impacted. Is their ovaries impacted? Is there some issue with the bowel or the bladder? So that if we do go for surgery, it's actually mapped out. And we're also understanding, is it a gynecologist that we need, or is it a colorectal surgeon we bring in? We want to do, if we do need to go for surgery, do it once and do it right. But then we need a team around these patients. You would never be discharged after having a hip replacement or a knee replacement without being signed off by physio in the hospitals. Yet, when people are having significant surgery and laparoscopies for endometriosis, it's very rare that the pelvic health physio is funded or actually gets to see them. This is where the reliance on surgical management has really failed us, and we are calling for that multidisciplinary team, and that means a pelvic health physio. This pelvis is a complex area. There's nerves, there's muscles. It's holding up so many of our organs. And trauma to that, whether it be from pain or going in and doing some sort of surgical treatment, that also needs to be considered. Then we have the mental load that all of this carries, the lead up to surgery, working out finances, understanding what the impacts on sexual relationships or work. That's a lot to carry. And we know that our nervous system can feel really dysregulated, which then can also increase our pain. So working with counselling or a supportive person in the mental health space can help to process things. It's not just lesions in the body. There's there's so many more layers to this. So when we're going for surgery, it's working out, well, what are the benefits? What are the risks? What are the alternatives? There's always an alternative option. What does your instinct tell you? What if you do nothing? And then can I get a second opinion or seek secondary support?
Well, in response to the allegations, Federal Health Minister Mark Butler had this to say.
Well, it goes without saying, these women have been let down by the system. And really our job now is to determine how we can ensure this doesn't happen again and how, if these allegations are proven, this person is brought to justice.
So he's hearing him saying there, what do we need to do to make sure this doesn't happen again, putting steps in place? What do we need to do, Jess?
There has been so much work in mapping this out. So the Endometriosis Coalition of Australia works to bring the voices together. And last year they did roundtables all across Australia, which looked at, okay, we need appropriate credentialing and scope of clinical practice. We need appropriately funded multidisciplinary teams. It needs to be funded through Medicare, not just to operate, but to spend time with these patients. This is complex. So the Medicare system is built with the incentive to operate, right? How do we bring in more of a financial support for people who are in these worlds, whether it be pelvic health physio, multidisciplinary team or gynae, to then hold space and look at that complexity? Bring in pain specialists. Now, there is a growing workforce out there who has a deep interest in this space. They're so passionate about this. Now, we need these larger reforms and then also a system to report and reflect. We have incredible gynecologists out there doing the right thing. They are practicing ethically. We don't want to have this as a village, you know, shut down, but bring them together and ensure that the best practice or the gold standard does include that team. And this is something that I know the Endometriosis Coalition has written to the minister about over the years, and also the Prime Minister.
Jess, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your thoughts this morning. Jessica Taylor is the CEO of Endometriosis Support Network, Quendo. You also heard from endometriosis patient and advocate Helene Hill, and I've really appreciated your insights as well this morning on the text line. Peter says, can you please include in your broadcast that men and employers need to be empathetic towards women with endometriosis? Another says, is it increasing in prevalence? I'm in my 60s and I'm sure there were undiagnosed sufferers. It would be good to hear people who now reflect on undiagnosed endo. Absolutely. Well, we'll put the full statement that Dr. Simon Gordon gave to the ABC Four Corners on the Life Matters website, as I said before. And I should just say, if this story has affected you, you can reach out for support. Lifeline is on 13 11 14. Beyond Blue is on 1300 22 4636. You can also contact the medical regulator APRA, 1300 419 495. And of course, endometriosis support organisation Quendo, 1800 Ask Quendo, 1800 275 376.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.